October the 14th, 2022. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Ilahi Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Wahiduddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the one that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihu kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. Morals can be right or filthy. Coward to bad influences. So the more morals, the more morals truthful, morals can be false morals, can be lies, it can be corruption. Morals are right and wrong. Morals are filthy and clean. Some people have filthy morals, others clean morals. Some have right morals, others corrupt morals. Though just the mere use of the word morals doesn't make the thing right. Morals is only a word that brings to mind right and wrong. The more moral, truthful our vision becomes, the more secure life becomes for us. It is an example, as it is as simple as that. I want to repeat that because if you can remember these few words, you have the essence of religious truth. The more moral, truthful your vision becomes, don't you know we like to blind ourselves? The reason why most of us can't see is because we don't want to see. And the reason why we don't want to see is because we are too much a victim of bad influences to give them up. In other words, we are weak. We have been beaten down by bad influences. We have been made a coward to bad influences. We have become a junkie to bad influences. So since we can't muster up enough strength to throw off bad influences, we want to justify carrying bad influences. The Quran, Surah 26, Ayat 7, God made everything in noble pairs. Culture, strongest element, through educational sciences. So inheriting the desert, the reference for Hagar and her children is we are not going to have any an educating servant people inheriting our culture. Go make your own. So that your own culture is just like going to a desert. There's nothing born there yet. So the desert has been used as a symbol for the absence of cultural development. In our dictionary, culture is made then just entertainment, beautiful environment with flowers and stuff, the strong elements of culture. It is true educational science because it is usually the science and the education based in reality proves the culture of a people. Take on new growths. You go up in the north, you read this little sunlight. There is not much life up there. It is. You do not go there to find all of the beautiful flowers and luxurious farmland that you find in the warmer zones. Up there in the pole, you expect to find absence of that, and it is because of the sun they get little sunlight up there, long periods of night, short periods of sunlight. Sun rises like the birth of a sciences. So the birth of the sciences is like a sunrise. And in time, the sunlight favors that area, produces just so many different kinds of growth, as Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, says in the Quran. Beautiful paths and beautiful relationships, not just with each other, but a relationship, the content is community life for human beings. So in relationship to others, beautiful growth, politics included, don't they all support each other? The beauty in the physical environment supports the soul. So the spirit and the nature of the human soul, and it gives beauty to the landscape, poor like it, and the high up and the low people on the ground. Grassroots, like it, and it just forms relationships. And all of these contribute to our good social life as citizens. So the water that God addresses when he tells us how he started growth, everything had its beginning in water. And Genesis, it said, in the beginning there was the darkness, and the spirit moved along the face of the water. And the things started to happen, right? So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, behind that a few centuries tied right into that, but instead of saying, in the beginning there was darkness, and given that same story, it said everything living had its being or beginning in water. Water is darkness, land is light. And then it gives several levels of light in the Quran. And it says, and the water is darkness, and land is light. It doesn't say that I'm just carrying it further. So you don't see a fire in the water, you see it on the land. So we say he is just blowing off steam. So when the water man and the fire man, fire produces and water produces, when they get together in a clash or in a debate, the fire is built. That fire man is being enough every time that water man throws something at him, it turns into steam, like a puff of moisture in the air, and it's going, and it's gone. So it disappears. So you know the expression in the Bible, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word took on flesh and dwelled in the life of man. So that is not exactly the wording, but that is the message. So the Quran in it are books in the upright position, Qayyama, or Qayyima. The Quran in the highest evolution. So the Quran is a book of previous books in their corrected form, but that is the way it is translated. But the word in the Quran is not corrected, not exactly, but you can arrive at the understanding from the language of the Quran. But what is the exact word? Qayyima. It comes from the word, its root is to stand up. So the meaning is standing up correctly or reaching the standard position in its highest evolution or in its highest progression. So this is what the word Qayyima suggests to me in their corrected form, or the book progress to their independent progression. Intended progression, they were not meant to stay there. It was meant for the Holy Spirit to inspire those people and guide them into further progression of understanding. So what God gave in the Quran, highly glorified is he, is language to start that interest again, so it will continue its progression until it reaches the progress state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended for the understanding of the language. In the beginning, there was the word, and you know the rest of it. I gave it just now, but you know it. We know it all by heart. So the Quran comes back with the language with kun fayakun. Interfaith, Quran, child, and innocent. So the Quran, Surah 27, Ayat 1, Quran verses makes matters clear. Isaiah 11:6, a little child shall lead them. Interfaith transparency. The Quran is a book that comes clear, open, transparent, scripture, guidance. It locks up against a mind influenced by the world. Imam W.D. Muhammad, the world stage is changing, you know, for help to mankind, and language says a lot that is being used in the religious circles of educated religious people who are interested in coming together, whether they belong to the same religion or not, to address the problems for mankind and looking to see, are we contributing to that problem? And religion has contributed to that problem. And religious leaders now are coming together, those who know that they want to change. They are using such expressions as transparency. The secular world is also using that term, but the first time I heard it was years ago from religious leaders who were meeting to address the problem for society, the world, that religions might have contributed to. The transparency is not a new occupation for religious leaders, but it is a new term, and it's not entirely new, because the Quran says this book is a book and open, transparent. And I think that the term politically started, I think, in Russia when one of the Russian leaders said that he wanted to promote one, openness. And another term that has come as an expression in scriptural reading, it is now a popular expression amongst those religious people, leaders on the world stage, who want to see if we have had a role that contributes to this mess that we have in the world, if we have let. So to correct this mistake, they're going to read scripture again. You can have a disposition that world gives you. As a Muslim, and you read the Quran, and all of God's precious jewels are locked, and you can't get them out. You can't reach them. No road for you to go and follow to find them. And it is the same for Christians. If their minds has been influenced and directed the world, many of them can't find the precious teachings of Jesus Christ. They read the Bible and they read nothing but rituals and stuff. And they miss the precious direction that Jesus represented as a sign for man to reconcile his life again with nature, as Adam did. He is the second Adam. Jesus Christ, reconcile your life again with the nature created by God, and then you will find patterns, thinking that will bring you to the great destination that God wants you to reach for your capacity and your potential inside of you, a virtual heaven on this earth. That is what God wants for us. So innocence says a child shall lead them. It won't be a child, it will be a grown-up, but it will be someone who is as innocent in his intent or in his design on the world. He will be the innocent as a child. So Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, said, if your child asks for bread, will you give him a stone? So to break his teeth or something, the keynote, ketonet, bread is supposed to educate because it begins with a seed and you grind the seed into powder, and then you add to the powder water or whatever, and you end up baking it, and it comes out so delicious. But if you would take grass seed, it would not be so nice. So in the beginning, in the Bible, they even call the seed stone. So actually what Jesus Christ is saying, why do you give them unfinished teachings? Give them the teachings in the raw, in the first or the raw stage that you get it in. Use your intelligence and break it down so that they understand it and appreciate it and have pleasure tasting and digesting it. So that is what Jesus Christ was teaching them. And then the Quran, it says, Muhammad the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, had been missioned, taught by God, and to come to you to do what? To teach you the book and the wisdom. In Arabic, it is al-kitabul wal-hikman. Al-kitabul wal-hikman. The wisdom means the logic for coming or performing judgment, the logic that directs you the way you should go to form a judgment on a particular matter. He teaches you the book and the wisdom, and it says also to purify you, because if you are not purified, if your mind is not cleansed, the pollution that the world put in your hand, in your head, is not taken out of it, you are not going to be able to read this book, not to speak of getting any wisdom. So I think we shouldn't dwell on this, the Bible, Scripture, and Quran. They are given on different levels so that the person who is unformed or uniform, uneducated, can't get much to help his life, and life can be sufficiently taken care of by that which is formed of the ground level. So the first level, but it goes to the highest level, to the most advanced intellectual thinker, and even the thinker of the saintly people who have reached the highest level of intelligence progression for the soul. So it is on all of those levels that what should be taken literally is do not lie, do not steal, do not cheat, do not deceive, do not be nasty, be decent, do not be stupid, be intelligent, etc. That is the teaching in Scripture that should be taken just like it is. It needs no interpretation, because common nature tells us how to receive it and practice it, right? If we have the decency to do so. So we are closing out this segment here, which I think we have more than one part. So we do want to come back, because I think we need to address this again. The focus is everything in existence, and everything in existence as one word, universe, and universe is one verse. So they should tell, that should tell us we should be able to read all of it. All of it is as one and the same reading, or one line, one statement. And the statement should say, God did this, not you. The Quran, Surah 28, Ayat 5, Allah gives us the land as inheritance. Allah says, my servant shall inherit the earth. So this has been said to people before you. They have gone up to the top of the world and have reached all over the globe and have enjoyed freedom and power. Allah speaks of the human design and associate his gifts of grace, goodness, and all such things for the purpose, for the person, pardon me. Now, if you want to be foolish and let the wickedly deformed creatures have it all and deny yourself, that will be your problem. I'm a Muslim, and I say utilize resources. It's for me. Now, if they don't measure up better than I do, I say that I will have more legitimate claim on those bounties, material graces from Allah, and I'm going to move more aggressively to get my share. If I can get enough of you to hold on to the sinners in power or in trouble, we will own competition for Allah's created base resources. So Quran Surah 28, Ayat 7 to 10, Moses in a basket. Exodus 2, 3 and 7, Moses in a basket. So Moses' basket equals Jews learned from Egyptians. So Moses was put on the river and he was put in a basket. Is that right? And floated down the river to Egypt. Moses was a baby when he was put in that basket. Is that right? So Moses didn't know nothing when he was put in that basket. Okay, so who taught Moses? It was Egypt. Egypt taught Moses. So Moses here, through Moses, is a prophet. Moses in this story, in this allegorical, is really a Jewish people. So they are telling us that they got on the river. So river means that they got into the spiritual order. They got into the religious society, and it brought them to Egypt so that they would learn and get knowledge. Now, the book says that the Moses was put in the basket as a baby and floated down the river into Egypt land. Is that right? So what does this mean now? Who is Moses? Moses in this story has double meaning always. So scripture always have a double meaning. It is a snake with two tongues, speak with one forked tongue. He speaks here and he speaks there too. All right, Moses was floating down the river into Egypt on a basket. What does this mean? Moses. In Moses, we have a picture of a whole Jacobite or Israelite society. And floating down the river means that we were not speaking in Jacob's tongue. Now, we were not materially strong. We were babies. So basket represents small material strength. So the basket represents the material strength. See, a basket is just a little bit of material. It's so light in the water, right? So the baby in the basket represents the development of that society. That society morally and spiritually was still a baby. So that society and knowledge was still a baby. So this is the history of the Jacobite people that is known now as Jews, and their society went down the river, means that they didn't go into Egypt as a material society or as an economic society or as a political order. They went into Egypt as a moral society. So they went into Egypt as a moral move society. Then they went there riding the water, meaning riding the strength of moral purity and moral power. They went into Egypt like that. So Jews came into Egypt, started with Joseph's strong morals. Okay, can we find anything in the Bible or in the books to shine more light on this or to back this up? Yes. The Israelite or the Jacobite people themselves, they were not the same now. But I am using their name in the same in this. They say that their coming into Egypt started with Joseph. Is that right? So with Joseph in scripture, both Bible and the Holy Quran, a strong moral body. Joseph was honest. Joseph was sincere. Joseph was clean in his morals. Pharaoh's wife couldn't seduce him to go with her. He wouldn't steal from Pharaoh. He was so honest and so truthful and so upright in his morals that Pharaoh put him over the treasures or over the storehouses. Is that right? All right, so this is how they got into Egypt. So this is how they began to grow. But as they got in there and became bigger in the society, in the social body, they became bigger in moral makeup. They became bigger in intellectual makeup. They became more worldly wise, and they became bigger in material sense. So as they grew in Egypt, Pharaoh began to fear their growth. So he decided to put them in chains, to put them in bondage. Now, we have the Moses story, and we don't know how to connect these things. But the Moses floated down. He floated down while there were slaves already existing, according to the story. Is that right? But don't let this confuse you. Moses is before slavery. So Moses goes there, and slavery starts. So the Jacobite people go to Egypt, and slavery comes after the society fears their presence. So they made them slaves while they were yet weak. They hadn't developed strong enough to be a threat, but they saw threat developing, so they enslaved those people. And after enslaving them, they continued to work, to roar, to grow, while because they had gotten hold of some knowledge from the Egyptians, and the Egyptians' knowledge, and they added it with their knowledge from the Egyptians. And the Egyptians' knowledge, they added it with their knowledge. And it made them even wiser than the Egyptians. So creation shapes of man, Jews from Jinn. So what was their knowledge? Their knowledge was the knowledge of the man. They came with an idea that the world is as a man. They saw the whole world in this image of a man. Right now, this concept of creation still exists. There are people in Asia and other parts of the world that still believe, in fact, Christians themselves. Often they still say the whole creation, physical world, is in the shape of a man. So they had this concept, and they believed in that man, and creation are really the same. So the man is creation. And a small model, and the big model is the whole physical world. So the small model is the man. And just as the forces of creation are moving in the world to create life and power, the forces in the small model are moving to create a ruler for the world as a likeness of God. So where did they get this idea from? Before they themselves, that is the Hebrew people, the so-called Hebrew people, before they were even called Hebrews, took this idea. They got it from what we call the jinn. So the jinn of Asia, the jinn believed that the whole creation was in the form of a man, and that turned as a wheel, and it was turning as a wheel. And when the hand got upside down, pardon me, the head got upside down, the world was in bad shape. And the world has to wait until the head comes back up to get in good shape. And they believe that. When the head started turning upright, if the focus of intelligence, spirit worked hard, the soul of this creation and the man can escape and go out of the head and escape this cycle, gain freedom from this cycle. This was their idea. Now, God has gradually raised the society or evolved the religious development. So we shouldn't thought that at that time, that was a step forward. The baby has to be raised up, reared up. So the man of six blind tried to identify an elephant. All right. So the Hebrews bought this idea from the same society, so they came with the same idea of creation in the form of a man. In the language of the jinn, they have a saying that goes like this. It says that there were six blind men, and they all tried to identify an elephant. None of them knew anything about an elephant, had ever seen an elephant, or had any knowledge of an elephant. They one of the six then grabbed the leg of the elephant, and he tried to identify what he was holding. He said, "This is a great pillar. You know, a pillar that holds up a great structure. Man of six, limited to own rational knowledge." Said another one, grabbed a hole of the ear, and he said, "This is a fan, a big fan." So the story is designed to say this, that man six means the men of six. Again, and the man whose truths, his own trust his own intelligence and won't submit to God, the man of six who rather than accept God independently in his own way, that man that have faith in nothing but his own rational mind and his own intelligence is inclined to be subjected and limited in his vision. He will see something and think that he has seen the whole thing. See, so each of the six means this particular mind try to identify. The elephant and all of them failed. None of them could see the whole elephant. The Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 14, Noah lived 950 years. Genesis 9:29, Noah lived 950 years. Environment of materialism poisoned their souls. So Genesis tells you that Adam descended. They, because the individual body working in iron and other metals and building, they became very industrial people. Industry grew and grew. And the environment that they created, just like the environment that man has created for us now, it can help you, but also it can set you back. So all of the attention to material development, the point that materialism poisoned their souls. And they became so deformed by their own world that they credited that God punished them with a great flood. And the flood took all but a few, Noah and his children. So this is the Bible. So Noah knew generation was the order of the spiritual. And from Noah came a new development, a new trend, a new world order after Noah. It was the order of the spiritual that followed behind the order of industry. So the Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 33, Lot's wife lagged behind unjust. Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife, pillar of salt. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made man from clay, thin. Clay means accepting to be corrected. That's the nature of clay. It yields to deform. If you don't accept to be correct, then you will be like big clay. The Quran, Surah 11, Ayat 82, punished with baked clay. So baked clay has to be broken. It can't be shaped. And IWDM would like to be punished with baked clay. Would you rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala punish you with your own wrongdoings, with your evil, with your sins, and force you to become disciplined that way? Or would you rather he feed your moral and spiritual understanding and bring you into conformity? Rain means feed thirst for spiritual moral guidance. Sorain means that he feeds your thirst for spiritual and moral guidance. Beklei means punished because of sin makes you rigid. So Beklei means he punished you because of your sins and made you rigid. People giving themselves the sin, the more they give themselves to the sin, the more rigid they become. They don't listen to nobody. This and this disobedience, soon their form is fixed like that. And they can't be changed. Would you want to be punished with that, or would you like to have morals and spiritual instructions that give life and growth? So the Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 33, Lot's wife lagged behind unjust. Genesis 19, 26, Lot's wife pillar of salt. But his Lot's wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Sin has a way of, it says Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt because she disobeyed the instructions, but that she not look back on Sodom and Gomorrah. For disobeying, she kept dwelling on sin that had been committed. And she, because herself and became embittered like salt, is better, she became herself rigid in her own self-righteousness. So rigid and stiff like a pillar of salt, because he was reflecting on sin of Sodom and Gomorrah and wasn't reflecting on God's deliverance. So if she had been remembering God's deliverance, then that thought would have made her lively and human. But thinking only on the evil of the past, she became embittered and rigid in her self-righteousness. Those who become like big clay, they shining, burns them, and more it burns them, it burns out the spirituality. So morality, they become rigid like burnt clay. So who wants to dwell on sin all the time? Stop dwelling on sin. Dwell on the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Big clay falls on those who dwell on sin, and on the sinners fall no both, on both. Don't think of clay running down on you. Think of you being the bait, clay yourself. Instead of teaching of the religion, the revelation, instead of it making you the human you should be because of wrong disposition of your own mind, the same teaching that made others human and likely makes you a rigid stone, dead to human senses and sentiments. So they read the Quran sometimes more than we do. They all the time reading it, revelation coming to them. But instead of making them morally and spiritually human, it's making them salty, bitter, self-righteous, and makes others like clay, hard, rigid, and they won't listen to anybody. You've got to say nothing. You say it right. Nothing you say is right. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us clay, but he wants us the kind of clay for him. So when he wants us to yield and correct and correction, and when he wants to come rigid against disobeying him, so there are times when we should be rigid clay, pottery clay, against influences from outside. But we have to be, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us soft clay, before God we are soft clay, but before the world that asks us to come away from God's guidance, we are rigid, rather be destroyed than to yield. So the Quran, Surah 29, Ayah 33, Lot's wife lagged behind. Genesis 19:26, Lot's wife became a pillar of salt. Luke 14:34, salt lost his savor. What good is it? So depth of the water is the knowledge. salt water is of human nature. So salt out of the water becomes rigid or stone. Sensational people didn't want was salt water. Well, why are they talking about? Man, what are they talking about? The Old Testament. The water of the human world had become too bitter for the masses of the people. Their sensitivities were distasteful, did not have any appeal. The water that the people did not want was the salty water, the water of the ocean. So what is salty water? Salty water comes from the ocean, and it has depths. It is very deep. So what does this represent? It represents knowledge, education, and sciences of the human nature. Had it become dead, dull thing for the people? It didn't have savor. So if the salt has lost its savor, what good is it than to accept to be thrown out into the earth? But it worked good for a long time. So law lets people see, understand, and practically exercise it on themselves. So sweet water lets the people exercise law themselves. So we know the salt water, if you pour it on the garden, it is not good. You need lake water, rain water, sweet water, or put on the growing thing, not with the salt in it. So the mistake that these Old Testament people made was this. They took salt to mean the knowledge. Salt is not the knowledge. The depths of the water is the knowledge. But salt represents something else, the New Testament. It's not saying throw out the knowledge. It is saying throw out the reality. So if you leave it out of the water, it becomes rigid. It will become a stone. Throw it out. Bitterness. Salt is bitterly taken too large of a quantity. Throw out the essences on reality. So this emphasis on blind obedience to laws. Let the people see the law and understand the law and be able to practically exercise the law on themselves without people imposing it upon them, without their knowledge, then you will take the salt, solid, and it will become sweet water. They understood it. Salt was not something that just became a problem in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Why was she turned into a pillar of salt? This will help us understand what salt means in the scripture. So Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt because she looked at the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. And the order came cautioning the people, warning them, whatever you do, do not look back. It said God was going to lead them out of the fire. But it said, warning came saying, let no one look back. Because Sodom was a terrible place. It had done terrible things. It had become so perverse, very much like some of the streets of San Francisco. Depths of the water is the knowledge. Salt water is deep knowledge of human nature. So salt out of the water becomes rigid or stone. Sensitivity people didn't want was the salty water. So what are they talking about? The Old Testament. The water of the human world had become too bitter for the masses of the people. Their sensitivities were distasteful, did not have any appeal. The water that the people did not want was the salty water, the water of the ocean. So what is salty water? Salty water comes from the ocean, and it has depths. It is very deep. So what does this represent? It represents knowledge, education, and sciences of the human nature. Had become dead, dull thing. It didn't have savor. If the salt lost its savor, what good is it than to accept to be thrown out into the earth? But it worked good for a long time. Law gets people see, understand, and practically exercise it on themselves. So we know that the salt water, if you put it on the garden, it is not good. You need lake water, rain water, sweet water to put on the growing things, not with the salt in it. So the mistake that these Old Testament people made was this, that they took salt to mean the knowledge. Salt is not the knowledge. The depths of the water is the knowledge. But salt represents something else. The New Testament is not saying throw out the knowledge. It is saying throw out the reality. Salt, if you leave it out of the water, it becomes rigid. It will become a stone. Throw out the bitterness. The salt is bitterly taken too large of a quantity. So throw out the emphasis on regionality, regality. So this emphasis on blind obedience to laws, let the people see the law and understand the law and be able to practically exercise law on themselves without people imposing it upon them. Without their knowledge, then you will take the salt, solid, and it will be sweet water. They understood it. Salt water was not something that just became a problem in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt. Why was she turned into a pillar of salt? This will help us understand what salt means in Scripture. Lot's wife was turned into a pillar of salt because she looked at that destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Orders came cautioning the people, warning them, whatever you do, do not look back. It said that God was going to lead them out of the fire. But it said warning came saying, let no one look back, because Sodom was a terrible place. It had done terrible things. It had become so perverse, very much like some of the streets of San Francisco. It was terribly. And God and fire downed on it. So the punishment of those people was so terrible to behold. Lot's wife looked back means I sympathize or I like the punishment. And Lot's wife was a woman who was in charge of the discipline of the children. And she looked back. Looking back, what does it say? Either my heart is a little bit with those people who are being punished, or I like the punishment that they are getting. Why would I want to look back? I either want to look back because my heart is with them, but look, the impulse to look back indicates more cruelty in me. It indicates that there might be a possible streak of cruelty in me than sympathy, because most people do not want to look at life suffering. So why would Lot's wife want to look back? She wants to look back because she loved what was happening. He was happy over what was happening. He wanted to look at those people being destroyed. So the Bible says she became a pillar of salt. When you say someone is salty, you mean that they are not friendly. And at the time, they are hard to get along with. So they are bitter. They have turned into a pillar of salt, meaning his whole self becomes rigid and bitter. So darkness like waves can't see land. Darkness upon the face of the deep. Salt means sternness. Ships have a stern. Now, let's go back to the ocean and see if we can understand what salt means in that ocean. It means sternness. The ships that goes out in the ocean has what? A stern. It means sternness. The creatures in the lake, they pawn and they look jubile. and they look happy. But those creatures in the deep ocean look stern. So that is what it is referring to. They use salt, but actually they are not talking about the depths of the water. We want depths of knowledge, but what does the Quran say about the depths of the water? It says it is darkness layer upon layer. So no man knows it. He has no vision under his gravity. So man has vision when the soul becomes structured by knowledge. That means no matter how deep you go down, it's darkness. So down here, in the water of the sensitivity, the soul, there is darkness. There is why God says, let there be light. No matter, no man knows his soul. No man has vision while he is under the gravity of his soul. Man has vision when the soul becomes structured by knowledge. So when his sensitivity and structuring under the influence of knowledge, then he has vision, then he has light. Salt does not respond to touch. Water does, not platable like clay. So we don't want to get too stern. If we get too stern, we have no sensitivity, and the little children will suffer. Their mothers has become a pillar of salt. Stern and sensitive, Salt doesn't shake. Water shakes. Water responds to touch. Salt does not respond to touch. And it is not clay. It is not like clay. Clay is a material that you can mold and you can work with it. It is platable. Put water with it and try to put it together. It dissolves in itself. So the only thing you can do is put it in a container, have it there, and let it harden and become a rock. Mary represents sweet water. Adam represents the first generation. Jesus represents the second generation. Imam, some too stern like pillars of salt, too rigid. Mary, why did we connect this? Because Mary represented sweet water, not salt water. And the need for the new woman is to bring forth a new generation. Adam represents the first generation in the Christian terminology. Jesus Christ represents the second generation of the second Adam. So the necessity was because there was too much rituality, too much insensitivity in the religious world. So a message came that appealed to the state of the people, the savor without the salt, like sweet water. So when you get too much salt, what does you want? You want water without salt. So they had given the world too much salt, sternness, like some of these imams who come here. And you want us to follow them, looking like pillars of salt. No human life at all in them, walking around looking otherworldly. And they think we are going to follow them. Ship them out on the first rocket into Neverland. Just keep floating out there. We don't want them. We are not going to accept them, and they will never be successful amongst us. I can go to sleep and sleep for 100 years and give them freedom to lead this community. And when I wake up, I'll find all of them gone, or I'll have to put it back together. They will be sitting in a corner somewhere with two nuts or two cubits of salt. I'm not bragging. I'm trying to save your life. Soul represents soul properties, and water properties, minimum, is one. So faith, because we learn to trust something. Faith is a property of the soul. Soul is the seed or the core of the sensitive nature. Let's now look at the properties of the water or the properties of the soul, our sensitivity, our soul, are stern or steered by fear as a result of something resulting from what? From trust. I have learned to trust something, so I have become faithful. I have faith because I have seen and I can trust this from this mother, daddy, brother, cousin, uncle, grandpa, or policeman, or the friend down the street. Whatever we have faith in it is because we have a relationship with the person or things we have found we can trust it. Seed, order, development, succeeded, sensitivity, water to land, soul, life, movement. So fear, love, faith, and devotion. So faith is a property of the soul, so we find later in scripture, faith is seen in material concepts, seed. So here we have sensitive nature of the human being, and that seed or the core of the sensitive nature is called what? Soul. Now we have the soul coming into the land. It has come into of the sensitive life of ours, of out of its sensitivity, and it has become like the material. So what does that mean? It has no disturbance in it. It has trusted so much. It has so much trust that it has become retarded, but there is an underlyingness in it. The seed has a pattern of orderliness and development. So order and development now has taken over or has succeeded sensitivity. Isn't this the necessary requirement for real scientific progress? When our sensitivity becomes obedient to order and development processes, that is when we become scientific in our thinking. The Quran, Surah 30, Ayah 23, Allah made the day for the activity. The Quran, Surah 38, Ayah 72, when I have breathed into him of my spirit. Genesis 1, 2. Darkness upon the face of the earth. Education is from the sensitive of the soul. Arrows to one God, purpose, the other, Muhammad's will. So scripture says the spirit moves along the surface of the earth, of the water, pardon me. And God said, let there be light. So God is saying that if you will only become sensitive to my call and purpose, my spirit will move with your sensitivity. The Quran said it was shot as two arrows from one bow going to the top. The will of God and the spirit and Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon it, went as two arrows fired by the same bow. It means that the natural powers and potential that God gives man in creating him, that bow has now become very tense. It's strained to reach God's purpose. It fires. And when it fires at the thing, it is amended at its sins too. One is God's purpose and God's will, the other is Muhammad. Prayers and the peace be upon his will and his obedience to God. So they go parallel at the same speed, at the same target. And the spirit is moved along on the face of the water. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. They helped place small lamps in the sky. So this is speaking of the evolution of light, knowledge. He placed something up there to reflect the light of the sun. So the sun had not been placed up there yet, but he placed something in the heavens of the leadership to reflect the light before it was even done. It was already there, ready to receive. The moon was put up there. But it didn't say the moon was shining. It did not say the moon was put up there and it was a beautiful, shining, illuminating object. No. It was just put up there. It says, and then he caused the sun to be put there. It came up in the heavens. And now he says, let there be light. So, but look how light evolved. Light evolved from the sensitivity in the soul of the spirituality. So that is what welcomed God's light. God's love, what he saw happening in the water, so he blessed it with his guidance or with his inspiration, and in the water came light. Science says that the moon is black. Look in your paper. If you want some evidence of what I'm saying, it is black. It hasn't shown any light yet. Doesn't that make you know now? You who are sane, rational and sensible, and morally responsive, doesn't that make you know now that God has taken a little Negro from Elijah Muhammad and lifted him up to the high place and understanding of his truth? Salakallahu Gadeem, surely Allah speaks the truth. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m., inshallah. It only means if it please God. We'd like to thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise, Maraj Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again. And we thank you, our honorable Muslim audience, or listening audience, pardon me. But I hope there's more listening other than Muslims. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.